Hare Krishna. Let me welcome all of you affectionately. I see many devotees who I know very personally, and I cannot now call you all by name, but you know who you are. Very, very happy to see you, and I would like to start today's session by telling you exactly why I am so, so elated and so inspired. I had a very, very blissful night today. There was not much sleep. I was up and chanting and singing and praying and reading. Not so much sleep, but no problem. And I believe it is because yesterday I received a very special gift. It was a little kavacha which contained really dust from all holy places and so on. I'm yet to know, to remember exactly what was in there. Robes of Lord Jagannath, and I mean really nice things, and they really worked. But I also feel very happy to start this particular seminar which I will give, because it is really on my favorite subject matter, the transformation. Srila Prabhupada, in one place, it's in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, says, spiritual life is all about changing one's consciousness. It's about purifying the heart and transforming our concept from being the enjoyer to an eternal servant of Krishna. That's the central theme of spiritual life, transforming or purifying the heart of the conditioned soul. And I have, throughout my years in Krishna consciousness, always looked to various ways and possibilities that can affect this change in consciousness. And with this, I don't just mean a temporary shift that, okay, I was depressed yesterday and today I'm happy, and tomorrow who knows what. No, transformation means to take one thing, that is the consciousness as it is now, and permanently change it to a higher state. And the example has been supplied in Hari Bhakti Vilas, where it says that by certain processes, ordinary metal like copper can be transformed into pure gold. In the same way, an ordinary person, by the process of initiation into spiritual life, can be transformed into a pure soul. With this initiation, if you look more closely, it's not just a ceremony where you get at the end a new Facebook name. No, it is. It implies traditionally 5 things. Initiation is important for all of you who are initiated and who or wish to become initiated in the future, is implying 5 things. The first is it applies some austerity, tapa. We have 4 regulative principles, but there are also other austerities, like getting up early, celebrating the appearance days with fasting. Austerity is necessary because it brings us from the material direction of sense gratification to doing something for the pleasure of Krishna. The second is Urdhvapundra. Urdhvapundra is also a name for Tilak, but it means here the way upward. You know, the Tilak, you go from here, the root of the nose, upwards. And Urdhvapundra refers to a sadhana, a spiritual process which brings, which raises your consciousness, the way upward. The next part of initiation is nama. Nama means you get a new name. Harry becomes Haridas, new name, but it also means the holy name of Lord Krishna. The fourth thing is you get a mantra, that is the Gopal mantra, Gayatri mantras, etc. The mantras which you chant. And the fifth thing is yajna, which can refer to a traditional fire sacrifice, but also to deity worship. No, so five things are there in initiation. I do some austerities, commit to a spiritual process, a sadhana, which raises your consciousness. You get the name and the mantra, and engage in the worship of Krishna and in sacrifice of Krishna. These five things are necessary to complete the process of initiation. And I think by now you understand initiation is not just a minute thing, that is when you get your beads and your new name. Initiation is a lifelong commitment to a process that raises your consciousness. And anyone who takes it like this, yes, he can transfer, although his Prabhupada translates this verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, although his heart may not be golden pure, but by this process it can change and it can become pure. You can become a pure soul. This example from Hari Bhakti Vilas you find also in the European mystical tradition, the alchemy, where the early alchemist wanted to discover the formula of transformation. And to make it easier, they started with matter. They wanted to know what principles are necessary to make lead. Lead is a very alloyed metal, into pure gold. And it is said, there is a town in Czechoslovakia, Prague, you must have heard. There is a hotel, it is called The Alchemist. And you will find a good exhibition of things which the early alchemists used to effect this change. It is said they were successful, but they were not after gold. That was not their idea. They wanted to find the principles and then apply it to the purification of consciousness. Everything could have been easy for them if they would have gotten a copy of Hari Bhakti Vilas. There you find in 17 Vilasas or chapters, all these processes described, these five processes which you have heard just now, that can affect a total change in consciousness. Anyways, this has always been my interest. As a young boy, I was devouring the mystical literature of Europe. And I always wanted to meet alchemists and learn from them. I read really all the books you could get a hand of on, even in the antiquariat. I was very interested in this, and this interest for transformation carried into my life. And as a devotee, and here I will give to you a presentation which is obviously Braj-oriented. I have a lot of collected materials for a future book on this subject matter, but here we will hear about the astonishing transformation of one Brahmana from South India, who wrote a book which is the Krishna Kanamrita, where the Lord declared this book should be called Nectar for the Ears of Krishna, because it's so nectarian. Anyone who touches this literature, I believe with some, he needs to be a little bit prepared, will find it supremely nectarian and a real guidebook in spiritual life. This book was discovered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his South India tour. Lord Chaitanya had already visited many, many places of pilgrimage when he arrived at the banks of the Krishna Veni River. And there, to his great pleasure, he found a group of brahmanas, pure-hearted brahmanas, they looked very pure, who were chanting or singing this book Krishna Kanamrita. And as he found out, it was for them a daily spiritual practice. They would daily, each morning as the sun was rising, gather together under the trees of the Krishna Veni River, and they would sing this work. I can imagine with tears of ecstasy in their eyes. And Mahaprabhu was so impressed that he wanted a copy of it. Now, at that time, there were no these little distraction monsters called mobile telephones. They were not available, and so he had to find a good copyist who would not speculate, but who would write as it is, the book with some ink derived from squashed flower petals on a palm leaf, and he had this book copied. No? Like we also say, when someone knows a good verse, we come after the class to him and say, Prabhu, can I copy this verse? This is a good verse. So Mahaprabhu had all these verses of the Krishna Kanamrita copied, and he brought this work back to Puri. Now, on his way, he again came through Vidyanagara. You remember who lived there? Ramananda Roy, yes. And he said, in this book, Krishna Kanamrita, which I have found in South India, everything I taught you is in that book. He said like this. It's in Matya Leela. And he came back to Puri and he gave this book to be copied to all of his devotees. He said, Kanamrita samavastu nahi tribhuvane joho hoite hoyo Krishna shuddha prema yane. O Sondaya Madhuya Krishna Lila Ravadai Sejane Ye Kanamrita Padaniravadi. There is no comparison to the Krishna Kanamrita within the three worlds. No comparison. By studying this book, by studying this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of pure devotional service to Krishna. My dear devotees, speak about transformation. If that is not transformation, and the means for transformation, study this book and you are transformed, elevated, pure knowledge of devotional service to Krishna. One who constantly reads the Krishna Kanamrita, Mahaprabhu said, constantly, can fully understand the beauty and melodious taste. Saundarya Madhurya, of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. You will understand, that is, you will have a comprehension of really the leelas of Lord Krishna. Mahaprabhu brought two books back from his journey to South India, which he held in great esteem. Who remembers the second book? Brahma Samhita, thank you. They are very much connected. Brahma Samhita, you could call, is a tattva granta. That means it explains the philosophical principles that firmly establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas Krishna Kanamrita is a bhajan granta. It tells you how you can become absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna. Thus, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had this to say about this book. He said, anyone who has the desire to perform bhajan, bhajan means, you know, the internal worship of Krishna, the personal, private worship of an individual. Bhaja means to worship of Krishna, which is done through chanting the holy name, reading, meditating about the contents of the read subject matter or the subject matter which was read, and so on. So anyone who has the desire to perform bhajan must study the two books, Krishna Kanamrita and Brahma Samhita. If you want to understand Krishna, my dear devotees, two things are necessary. Tattva, the fundament, the philosophical fundament, and rasa, the taste, the experience of Krishna. If you only want to taste without the fundament, you will have a mundane taste. You will hear something and it will work on your consciousness also, yes, but you are apt or to have misconceptions. But ultimately, if you want to understand the essential point of Krishna, this is Madhurya, his overwhelming sweetness, it can only be done if you have some taste, some bhakti, as we say. Bhakti helps you to have some love where you feel the taste. Bhakti rasa must be there. Otherwise, just by philosophical establishment, it's not possible to know what is Krishna. I would like you to listen about an example, which is a typical breakfast example, I'd call it, Rasagula. Of course, we don't have so many Bengalis here, but Bengalis go crazy. They do crimes in order to get a Rasagula. It is apparently so tasty. Rasagula can be understood in two ways, well, the tattva way. Well, it is milk, then sugar, rose water and the rest, I don't know. But if you really want to, that gives you an idea. But if you really want to know what is a rasgulla, you must taste the rasgulla. You must eat it, and then you know. So Krishna must be understood through the bhakti rasa, which has firm foundations on tattva. Otherwise, your understanding and imaginations can go haywire. Ultimately, yes, you must taste it. Therefore, I was so happy about the program at Surabhikund, which we had, where we had really illuminated the Kund, and where all of a sudden we saw the pastime of the Lord happening before our eyes, and where we sat there and said, oh, this is really beautiful. This is really attractive. This is capturing my heart. I'm happy about this program. So one who constantly reads the Krishna Kanamrita can fully understand, says Mahaprabhu, the beauty, Sondarya, and Madhurya, the Prabhupada translated as melodious taste. How wonderful. A good name for sweetness. The melodious taste of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, I want to whet your appetite here, but then we will go, soon we will be in the book. We will be in the life of the author soon. There are a few commentaries on this work. The oldest is by Chaitanya Das, the son of Shivananda Sena, and it is expressed by those who know the ancient language in which he wrote, because it is written in song form. Another commentary is by Yadunandan Das. He is the son of Hemalata Thakurani, who was the daughter of Srinivas Acharya. I won't explain the various relationships. Then by one Vrindavan Das, not the author which most of us know. He's a disciple of Srinivasa Acharya. The one member of the Six Goswami has commented about Krishna Kanamrita, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, a very valuable commentary. But by far the most, famous commentary is by our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, he has written a commentary called Charanga Rangada. It means the giver of joy to the swan-like devotees. This particular commentary I have read in preparing this seminar. It is available in a nice translation by His Holiness Banu Swami, for those who wish to obtain a copy of this book, 150 rupees. in Loi Bazaar, you can obtain it. Good. Having said how Mahaprabhu discovered this book and what this book can do, I would like to immediately go into the life and teaching of the author, Bilwa Mangala Thakur, whose life is very impactful when you hear about it. I will start with the known part, that is the part which you have heard in many lectures, how he turned from a sinner into a saint. Then I will go very deep into a subject which will make you think very deeply about your life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives Lila Shuka or Bilva Mangala Thakur as an example of an ordinary human being who in one life develops ecstatic love of Godhead. Remember our subject, transformation. We are in the seminar and interested in the question, how can I purify my heart? I want to read to you this verse. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 2, text 69. Lila Shuka Madhya Jana Tanrahaya Bhavod Gama Ishvare Seki Havis Maya. Vismaya means surprise. Dahe Mukya Rasaraya Hayachin Mahashaya. Mahashaya means great soul. Tate Haya Sarva Bhavo Daya. Lila Shuka, Bilva Mangala Thakur, was an ordinary human being. Yet he developed many ecstatic symptoms in his body. And then it goes on to make another point. If he, who was an ordinary human being, came to this most ecstatic platform of pure love, then what is so surprising? When these symptoms have manifested in the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya. So, can you understand his logic? Here is a human being. He was clearly on the most ecstatic platform in one lifetime. So why do you wonder or surprised that Mahaprabhu showed these ecstatic symptoms? Becoming changed in your consciousness, becoming transformed, becoming pure is the test that you are making advancement. You have to change, my dear devotees. You have to move on. You have to transform. And you can see by the symptoms if you are or if you're not. And Bhagavad Gita gives a few very nice symptoms of devotees in the 12th chapter, and you should read. Are you becoming compassionate? Are you tolerant? Are you loving? This you should see. Prabhupada says, yes, this is the test whether you are becoming Krishna conscious or not. You have to test yourself whether you are developing these qualities. This is for testing. He speaks to the beat poet Allen Ginsberg. I have not read anything by him, but I heard he is a favorite poem by the older devotees who were in this milieu before. Allen Ginsberg is saying, I'm slowly developing all qualities except sanity. And then he laughs. And then Srila Prabhupada takes this lead on. Insanity for seeking Krishna, that is required. Yes, unless you become insane after Krishna, just like Lord Chaitanya became. Yes, his worship is to become insane after Krishna. I will translate this now. First, I will shock you a little bit more, but then I will translate. I read at the beginning of the my Kartik Vrata a letter which was printed in the Krishna Kathamrita newsletter, a newsletter which is brought out by Madhavananda Prabhu and his team. And there in this letter, Prabhupada says, I have given you now everything, but I am very concerned because the general symptoms of spiritual advancement are not always there in this movement. So Prabhupada looks at in 72 at his movement and says, I'm concerned. I don't see the symptoms of general advancement always there. And then he continues, he said, instead there are big talk, but not the main purpose of Krishna consciousness. Mainly, now listen to this, you can decide afterwards if you're in the right movement, because this is about the main purpose, namely to become mad after Krishna. So I'm still thinking what needs to be done in this connection. Of course, when someone who has not read the Bhagavatam hears, I have to become mad after Krishna, he thinks, well, I'm from a different background. I don't want to become mad. I want to be psychologically healthy. Mad here means, and insane means, totally absorbed to the exclusion of outside disturbances. No, totally absorbed. You can call it like this. A person who is mad only thinks of what he's mad for, you know, and nothing else is in his mind or in his concern. So we should really become fully after Krishna, fully absorbed in Krishna. That's the test. Are you like this? If not, you must listen to the Krishna Kanamrita. Then it will apparently come. So let us start now, after this introduction, with, I call it, the three lives of Bilva Mangala Thakur. The author, Bilva Mangala Thakur, was born sometime between the 8th and the 13th century. Where are we now? In which century? 20th century. What? 21st. Wow, time passes. So if you go back, whoa, this is a few centuries back, you know. He was born in a Brahmana family near the river Krishnaveni. You have heard earlier about Krishnaveni. What happened there? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came upon this group of pure Brahmanas who recited and sang the Krishna Kanamrita regularly. No? His name at that time, I found this in Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, was Shilhana Mishra. And he made a classical journey, you can say, from a material consciousness to a spiritual consciousness. Due to his good birth, he had access to the highest education, and he became, the word is used by Krishna Das Kaviraj, the king amongst poets who lived on the western bank of the Krishnaveni. He was married to a chaste wife, and he spent his time sitting on a seat of kusha grass facing east. It's a picture of the traditional Brahmana who sits on a mat of sacred straw, the kusha mat, facing one of the two best directions for spiritual practice. East is the best. The second best is north. He was facing there, reciting, writing poets. About this time in his life, Bilwa Mangala Thakur wrote in his own life, Advaita Viti Patiker Upashyaha Svananda Singhasana Lapta Diksha. It's really interesting. He was a poet, and he was so famous that he was worshipped by people who were on the path of Advaita and who were practicing very elevated yoga. They were initiated into self-realization through the yoga system. But then he said, something happened to me. I have nonetheless been forcibly turned into a maidservant by some cunning boy who's always joking with the gopis. In other words, yes, I was learned. I sat on a singhasan, it means the lion throne, elevated seat, made of pure gold. I was instructing the Advaitins and those who were studying yoga for self-realization. But then something happened to me. A little research into his life, if you dig a little, you will find out he founded monasteries. There is a temple, famous temple in South India, the Anantapadmanabha temple, where he and his followers were invited the prestigious position of offering the first puja. There's a cycle of pujas, and he who is asked, or let him offer and inaugurate the cycle, he is the best amongst all of the spiritual people here. Now, at that time, it's really interesting, and I can already warn you as you go into his philosophy and into his book, there was not yet such a huge distinction between the Dvaita and Advaita philosophy. The philosophies were not so formulated. So sometimes you will hear him saying, this is a dancing mass of light which comes into my direction, referring to Krishna, yes. No, and you will feel really it is a mystical language where the varieties of spiritual experiences are all founded or found in the personality of Krishna. Very, very nice. So what made a learned scholar into a maidservant of a naughty boy who always jokes? Krishna. That is the transformation we are speaking about here. So anyways, he was on the western bank. Opposite to him, on the eastern bank, lived the most beautiful woman of her times, Chintamani, who was practiced in the high culture of entertainment. She knew music like anything. She had a seven-stringed veena and sang and entertained people. She was what you would call in sophisticated language, a royal courtesan, and in street language you would call her a prostitute. But she was not a prostitute like those which you can find in the big cities of the Western world, a person with little or no principles who sells her art to men who have lost all culture and discrimination. No, she was highly elevated. But she would do all these things, entertainment and more. So Bilva Mangala, one day he heard this beautiful singing. Maybe it was a breeze which came from the east to the west. And he thought, who's singing so beautifully? So he sent someone over. The servant came back. I went into this mansion and saw this lady. She sings very beautiful. Her name is Chintamani. Bilva Mangala's interest was arose. He had to go. And as he associated more and more, one visit became two visits, became three, four, five, he totally lost his sense and he stayed in the house of Chintamani as a slave to his senses. This was a shock in his family. His father, Ramdas, was so shocked. How could his son, a prestigious author, a leader amongst the spiritual people, become a woman hunter like this? And it gave him so much grief that it broke his heart and he died. On the day of his death, the chaste wife of Bilva Mangala went over the river and found her husband lying on the couches and being entertained by Chintamani. And she fell down before Chintamani and said, please, please, in the name of Dharma, I implore you, give my husband for one day to us so that he, the only son, can perform the death rites of his father. Chintamani said, go to Bilva Mangala. And both the wife and her husband exited. They went across the river. And Bilva Mangala performed the funeral rites, which includes taking a stick and cracking the skull of so that the soul can depart. But he hurried the ceremonies because as he stayed away from Chintamani, the great longing to be with her increased. And he hurried the ceremony, and right after the ceremony, he ran back. Now, as he was going to the Krishna Veni, he saw a storm had accumulated. Powerful winds whipped the waters of the Krishna Veni into dangerous waves, and all the boats had been pulled on land. There were no boatmen because it was impossible to cross. But because Bilva Mangala was so absorbed, or let me say, so infatuated and intoxicated with mundane lust, he thought to himself, if I jump into the river to cross it, I might drown because the water is raging. But if I don't go and see Chintamani, I will surely die out of separation from her. To die in the waves of the river thinking of Chintamani is better than to die here on the banks of the river with a broken heart. And thinking like this, he plunged like a madman into the river and began to swim. Now his wife had seen that he left right after the ceremonies and didn't even stay to speak to the relatives. She knew where he was going to. So she followed him to the banks of the Krishna Veni. And when she didn't see her husband in the banks, she was overcome with so much desperation, with so much, how do you call this? Agony. I have the German words, but not the English ones. No, it's psychological. You know, when the wife feels I have failed, I have not been able to satisfy my husband, it's despondency, womanly failure. It's a huge, you know, psychological packet which was there. So she was so distraught, so helpless that she jumped right into the Krishna Veni and drowned instantly. So Bilva Mangala was fighting with the waves. As he came to the middle of the river, he was so exhausted that he understood, I can't make it. Just at that moment, something drifted by which looked like a log of wood. It was the dead body of his wife. And he grabbed on this log of wood and he could cross the river. Then he made it to the mansion of Chintamani, but Chintamani thought, well, this is a stormy night. How can he come back this evening? He will come tomorrow. She had locked, or her servants had locked all the doors. But Bilva Mangala was so desperate to see her that he climbed the wall. And when it seemed to be impossible to reach the end of the high wall, he grabbed on to something which he considered to be a rope. But really it was a black snake who had dug himself into a crevice in the wall. And he reached the wall, and then he was so exhausted he fell down on the court yard with a big thumb. Chintamani heard the noise in the courtyard, and she sent her servants down to see what was there in this stormy, gloomy night. And when the servants carried the bleeding and half unconscious, wet, dripping Bilva Mangala into her room, she was shocked. Here was her lover. It had clearly gone too far. So she somehow nursed him back to life. And then she asked him, how did you come here? And Bilva Mangala, he was now bathed and in dry cloth. He heard this question, can you tell me how you crossed the river and how you climbed onto the roof? He said, you sent me a boat to cross the river, my lover, and you hung a rope for me to climb onto the rooftop. I was so happy to see your arrangements, for I could understand your strong attachment and love for me. Why are you asking me all these questions? Chintamani could not believe her ears. Here was someone he had who was so learned, so composed, who was totally spoiled by her. And she said, "Your name is Bilva Mangala," means the auspicious one, "but you are very Amangala, very inauspicious. You fixed your mind on my body. This is just a bag of bones, flesh, blood and stool. If you had fixed your mind only on the lotus feet of Lord Shyamasundara, I would have considered you to be an intelligent person. But know one thing from me, attachment for the perishable objects leads only to misery, both in this world and the next. And therefore, beginning tomorrow, I will simply worship the lotus feet of the divine couple. What you do is your own business." Now, what you have just heard is an ordinary language, a wake-up call, which Chintamani received, and she responded to it by saying, if the same attachment which is focused on perishable objects, on material objects, is focused on Krishna, one will be self-realized. When Bilva Mangala Thakur heard these very words, my dear devotees, something happened which is now the beginning of a story which you have maybe never heard. His sanskaras, means old impressions from a previous life, started to awake. Prabhupada has commented on this awakening. He has said, Bilva Mangala Thakur, in his previous life, he elevated himself to the loving stage of Krishna. Not exactly, just before bhava. But it is called bhava ecstasy. But some way or other he could not finish. So according to the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, he was given birth in a nice Brahmin family. And then he quotes the shloka, which I will translate to you in a minute. Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe, in that way. Rich family, Brahmin family. But richness generally, sometimes, these people glide down to wine, woman, and intoxication. And that happened to him when he met Chintamani. What happened is very important, and I really, really request you to start now listening very intently. Up till now, it was the story about someone else. From now on, the story will hopefully be your own story. What are sanskaras? They are impressions which we make. The mind, whatever it comes in contact with, forms around it and appropriates this. You know, when you are in a happy mood or happy society of devotees, like here at Giriraj, you will look at Giriraj. You will listen to classes like the one early this morning by Madhavananda, a very excellent class, and the mind will think about these subjects and become inspired by them if it doesn't reject them. This is also a possibility, but if one is impressionable and allows to be impressioned. So when there are spiritual impressions, we sankskars, we call them sukritis. Even those which are done without you knowing it, when, for instance, someone sees the Harinam party in London passing by and he sees the happy devotees chanting, he will get an impression which will work in him as a unknowingly picked up benefit, an agyata sukriti. No. So Bilva Mangala Thakur, in his previous life, had such very favorable sankskaras, which kicked in, so to say, or kicked in, this is American slang, what is a better word, which became activated when he heard these wake-up calls. I strongly believe that all of us here, or most of us here, let us be not so general, have some previous impressions of good spiritual things, which were activated when they met devotees and they came to a turning point in their life, and they said, "I rather be with these people, the devotees, than with my previous people with whom I associated." Prabhupada refers to this. I will read to you a translation of the Gita from a godbrother of mine, Ranchor, is his name. "A person of faith is not lost in this world or the next." Krishna continues to Arjuna, "One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. If he should fall from the path of yoga, he enjoys countless years in the heavens of the pious and is then born on earth in a good and fortunate family. Or one is born in a family of transcendentalists full of wisdom. Such a birth is hard to find in this world." Prabhupada refers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was born as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When one had some faith, but it was not lost, even though one had no chance to complete it in the previous life, one is born in a good and favorable family where good circumstances are available. There, one's former divine consciousness is reawakened and one again strives further toward perfection. My dear devotees, have you ever asked why it is, as a preacher I have asked this question innumerable times, that I meet people and they come in a program and the program is finished and they come to me and said, "I know you." When it's women, I'm immediately suspicious. Sometimes I'm thinking, why do they feel they know me? I'm sure I don't know the person. I'm seeing the person for the first time. And as they take to Krishna consciousness, they seem to go very, very, very fast Have you ever seen such young bhaktas where you think, my God, if I would be like this? Whew. I have seen people, and we say in German, alte Seelen, old souls. And they come and go, it goes very fast. And then they come to a point, ping, and then it goes as slow as you are. Have you ever seen this phenomena? What is happening is here is old impressions where they were in past life are activated and help them to come to the same level where they were in the past life. But then they stop at the point where they ended in the past life. In my language, I call it, they hit the same wall which they have hit in another previous life. I have seen this with many from the Gurukul generations. You are surprised. They are so, they know the whole Bhagavad Gita in and out when they are 12 years old, and they blah, 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 and they do everything, get up like anything. And when they are 26 years old, they can't even rise before 7 o'clock. Because they have quickly caught up to the point where they were in the previous life. And now they need to work on their own credits, not on the credits from the previous life. And if they don't understand this, if they don't go further, it will take longer time. But if they get the lesson, wow, then they will go very fast. I'm addressing the Gurukulis because we have a few Gurukulis here, but it refers to all of us. We make advancement and then we come to our test, our point, where we need to now show our, where we now need to apply what we have heard and learned to move on. My dear devotees, this is a song for the glories of bhakti. Whatever is done in bhakti, the effects of your spiritual life are never, ever destroyed. One continues in this life where one left off. Yesham tvantagatam papam jnananam punyakamanam. Krishna speaks about this. Those who are pious means they have some sukriti, no? They take to my devotional service. For others, it is sometimes a little difficult, no? But what we can take from this as a point of inspiration is that these sukritis are very, very powerful. Bhakti is so wonderful. Bhakti is always with you. You never lose it. So who was Bilwa Mangala Thakur in his last life? We should look into this right here. Are you into it? Good. This was a strong yes. And who was Chintamani in her past life? Because her reaction, I will leave tomorrow this house and worship Radha and Krishna, was, I mean, that was a strong reaction in bhakti, no? So who are these people, really? Listen very carefully. It's a very dramatic story. In his previous life, Bilwa Mangala Thakur was a great sannyasi and, according to Prabhupada, a great devotee who had bhava, exalted state in Krishna consciousness. As a dandi, a sannyasi who carried a danda, he had this devotional streak to him, very strong, and he wanted to feed sadhus. But he was very poor. And what he imagined, a nice feast where all the sadhus of the area can come and eat to their full satisfaction a very nourishing and tasty meal. Costed a lot of money. But he was a sannyasi. He had a few... How do you say in English? A man of no means. Something he had, but not to feed a few hundred saints who were most probably also hungry to eat something good, you know. So one day, as he was wandering the street, he saw a procession. The youngest daughter of the king, was carried to a place where she was buried. You know, children who die early are not burnt, but they're not cremated, they are buried. So he looked at the dead body who was carried, and he saw it was bedecked with precious jewels and golden ornament. And being a renunciant, he said, well, that's after the fact. That's an inconsequential decoration, a decoration of a dead body. I mean, she doesn't need the jewels. And then a plan began to form. He followed the procession. He lingered on when the brahmanas had completed their ceremony. And when the body was, how do you call this in English? Interred, you know, put under the ground. And then in the night, he took his courage and he opened the grave. And as he was approaching the dead body, he all of a sudden heard a voice. The voice said, what are you doing? Leave me alone. You must know the dead soul, after it had passed, becomes a preta, a ghost. And then when ceremonies are done, then it becomes a an ancestor, a preti, you know, who is in peace. But this soul was not yet in peace. It was lingering on. So anyone would have been shocked to his bones. If you dig in the night a grave, you know that's not good. And then you hear the voice, what are you doing? Leave me alone. Collected all his courage. You don't need your jewels. I need them. I want to make feed sadhus. So that the ghost spoke. But not like this. I give you a tip. Go to my father, the king, and tell her his daughter has sent you, his dead daughter, with this instruction. At the end of the bed where my head was resting, under the ground, I have placed two golden bricks, pure gold. Tell my father that I want him to give you these bricks for your sadhu feast. Dandi Sanyasi said, thank you, and hurried off. He went to the king. The king first was not willing. He was so much grieving to hear him, but eventually he heard the information, went personally to the bed and opened the floor at the designated spots, and lo and behold, there were these two golden bricks. And he said, okay, you spoke the truth here for your sadhu feast. So the sadhu bought ample vegetables, made big feasts, but eventually he found out there were more sadhus, I mean the sannyasi, there were more sadhus than he could feed. So after he had run out of his supplies, he remembered where precious jewels and gold were to be found. And he went a second time. And he dug open the grave. He took the jewels, and in the process, he had to remove the covering cloth. And again he heard the voice, "You have gone too far. The desire for wealth and the prestige to feed the sadhus has blinded you. You need to be reformed by punishment." Then Sannyasi started to tremble. "Oh no, what have I done?" "Listen very carefully. You will be born in a good family. But because you have seen the naked body of a woman, you will become so attached to Chintamani, who lives on the other side of the river, that you will lose all your knowledge and all your education. You will become the young lover of Chintamani. And because I was involved with this, I will become Chintamani." That's what the princess, very pious lady, very pious princess said. "I will become Chintamani." The sannyasi broke down crying, "Oh no, oh no." And she said, "But don't despair. I will help you. I will give you instructions that will wake you up. Now go." Is there something to change this? There is nothing to change this. This is the will of the Lord. And the voice became silent. He became silent. And he went. He was reborn as Bilva Mangala Thakur, and she was reborn as good. This is what it means to awaken sankskaras. This is what it means to awaken Sukriti. He was a good person. He was developed. He had these sankskaras. She was a good person. She was developed. She had sankskaras. But the Maya Shakti of the Lord, or is it the Lord behind it? Sometimes difficult to say, was moving in this way. My dear devotees, without sankskaras, you cannot awaken sankskaras. Huh? Think of it like a bank account. You deposit, let us say, an amount of 10,000 rupees in the bank account. And then after you have completed the forms, you can go to the bank and take out the 10,000 rupees at the proper time, at the time when you need them. Sankskaras are like this. They are with you, they stay with you, they are deposited with you, and you can count on them. They are always there. Do you know what we do really at the Govardhan retreats? The secret. We create spiritual sankskaras by sitting and hearing about Krishna from responsible speakers, by looking at Giriraj, who is not only in Madhavananda's class, the best of devotees. He is also the best. He's the best. I want to say it's a reality, not a philosophical reality, but an existentially felt reality. He is the best of devotees. And by sitting here, just being here, listening here, looking from at Giriraj, and seeing him smile at you. Maybe you have found already your Giriraj, who seems to look exactly at you, you know, and pleasing him by this. It's called devotional service, Shravanam and Kirtanam. Huh? This is how it starts, devotional. There are 9 processes. These are the most powerful processes of devotional service. You create bhakti, Yunmukhi Sukriti, at least. Philosophers have always different angles. It can be said it's more than a Sukriti. It's a divine blessing. That is another angle. But something is coming to you. It stays within you. It can never, ever be taken. It will always, no matter where the waves of life will bring you, be there as a permanent spiritual investment, which is withdrawn or activated at the proper time. Isn't that wonderful? Can you follow these? Can you you follow? Good. Very moving. Prabhupada says about this in the Bhagavatam. This is a quotation you might like to note down later. 329.45. Prabhupada says, listen, don't just write. This attitude for service exists eternally. The Lord exists eternally. His servitor exists eternally. And the service exists eternally. You know everything. Yes. It's eternal. Did you ever receive a wake-up call in your life where you thought, enough is enough, I don't want this compromised life, I have to change something? No, yes, middle, yes. Heed these calls, means follow them. Treasure these calls, and something will happen which is very good. These wake-up calls have brought Narada Muni, you know, when his mother died, he left his house forever and went to search for Krishna, remembering his past life, where he was already on the path as Upavana Vasu, you know, that great singer amongst the demigods he was. There are examples in the Christian tradition about, have you heard about Augustinus? He wrote the famous Confessions. And he was not a Christian. Then he went one day with his friends for enjoyment to Rome, and he went alone into a room, into a garden, and he all of a sudden heard the word Sumetolle, Latin language, means take this and read it. And he understood, I have to take the Bible and read it, and he wrote the Bible, read the Bible, and read. Or Saint Francis of Assisi, some of you have heard. Yes, of course, the European saint. He's a man of pleasure, a young Junker, you say in German, a son of a rich man, and he is there with his friends. After they have won a minor battle, you know, they went to fight. Italians always fight, even today. he had gone to and had survived the skirmish, and he's now going running through the town. They drink and they are with women, and he runs. It's a party, and all of a sudden, boom, he stops, and he only can say, meo Dio, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He gives up everything afterwards, after this wake-up call. He goes into a broken-down church, and there from the cross he hears Jesus, build up my church again. And he understands it to build this small broken-down church to its former glory, but also to help bring spiritual principles into the corrupt church. No? So, wake-up calls, very important. You might get some during the Govardhan retreat, but you have received already. Otherwise, you would not have been here. Build on these. They are from previous lives, from forgotten dreams of your spiritual development. Forgotten dreams. I meant to say they linger on like forgotten dreams and bang, become real as you see them right before your eyes at the proper time. Listen to them, follow them, and you will have a compass which never errs in your spiritual life. So Chintamani's words went really right into Bilva Mangala's heart. He began to criticize himself, and he also made a firm determination. He said, I should give up everything and from tomorrow on worship the Lord. So what did they do in the night? Do you think they smoked a last cigarette? For the Indians, this will not make any sense. The Westerners will all laugh. No. Bilva Mangala took up her veena and sang songs strictly about Krishna. Bilva Mangala saw a madanga lying there and played the madanga. And they sang such infused kirtans. They were so much into it. They were in the bhava. that their minds roamed through the groves of Vrindavan. And they sang about the transcendentally sweet pastimes of Sri Radha and Govinda. They became so absorbed that they felt a joy that felt millions of times stronger than the greatest joys they had experienced in their romantic relationship. The entire night they sang about the glories of Lord Krishna, and the entire night was spent like this. We will also sing a little. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda. No, not this one. Hey, Govinda. Hey, Gopal. Keshava Madhava. Govinda, hey. I can't hear you. Kesava Madhava Dinadaya. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal, Kesava Madhava Dinadaya. Dinadayal Prabhu, Dinadayal, Dinadayal Prabhu, Dinadayal. Oh, Dinadayal Prabhu, Dinadayal, Dinadayal Prabhu, Dinadayal. Dina means fallen, Dina, and Dayal means merciful. So Dina Dayal is the name of Krishna, which the devotees use to call upon his mercy.
Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal. Oh, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal, Prabhu Dina Dayal.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hi Krishna, I really would like to sing more, but we want to have in this class more of his life, because he will again hit the point, the wall, where he and where he came, and he will this time be successful. So the next morning, Chintamani left the house. She left everything except her veena, an instrument with which she could glorify the Lord. She left the money She left her shampoos, nail colors, eyelid colors. She left her servants. She left all her securities. And unknown to anyone, very early in the morning, she made her way towards the banks of the river Ganga and finally found shelter in Haridwar. Bilvamangala, after paying his obeisances, also went. The streets were washed, they were full, they were wet. The trees, some of them were broken, branches lay in the way, but he knew there's one place I must go now. The ashram of Somagiri, a great Vaishnava who lives in this area. And he went to this ashram. It was early morning, the doors were open, and he said, I must see Somagiri. He's initiated in the Vishnu Swami line. It's a Vaishnava line. And he broke down crying and he confessed all his life and all his sin. Much of it was known to Somagiri. And he said, please give me shelter. I need to learn now the Bhakti Shastras. And I want to learn from you. And Somagiri, seeing that this was not an ordinary case and not an ordinary concern, gave him the Gopal mantra. And for 1 year he studied and he wrote wonderful books. We will hear later about I found 4 books of his. But this Gopal mantra is the king of mantras. And in Brahma Sanghita, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the effect which this mantra has when you chant it regularly and with attention. He says there, it makes the soul run after Krishna. Does this remind you of something? I'm sorry? Yeah, Prabhupada's letter, someone says. Yes, this is about madness for Krishna. Thank you, Prabhupada. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the development of the soul. Very nice, yes. He got also this mantra, and he only wanted to find, Gop Kumar wanted to find the deity of this mantra, Gopal. Yes. I was thinking when Mahaprabhu had received initiation in this mantra in Gaya by Ishvara Puri, that same night he wanted to run to Vrindavan, but he was detained by an aerial voice. It was the Devatas who said, no, later you will go to Vrindavan. First start your Sankirtan movement. So he then went back to Navadvip and started the nocturnal kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur. Yeah, it makes you, and those who have received Gayatri mantras and have the Gopal mantra, you will also feel the effect if you overcome the mistake of the Hare Krishna devotees. Oh, I'm actually free from offending devotees. I don't do this any longer. Let me say it like this. If you overcome an occurring problem, that is neglecting the mantra and not chanting it at the times. But if you chant, it is said, and we find it in one commentary in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he quotes a scripture. I can't supply to you the reference, but I've written it in my notes. It's on the Chaitanya Bhagavat. They are not here at the moment. It says, when you neglect those mantras, they leave you. You may chant. Oh, let me change. I'm multitasking, chanting. Let me look at the newest WhatsApp message. And so on. If you neglect the mantras, they will leave you. That means the divine Shakti, the goddesses which empower them, or Krishna, when we are Vaishnavas, Krishna, they leave, and you'd find lesser and lesser taste and necessity. Of course, when there is service, my dear devotees, and you and the it happens to be your kirtan slot, and you can't just interrupt everything. Wait a minute, people, I'm chanting my Gayatri now, or you are in you know, there are service situations, but in general, respect should be and love should be kept for these mantras. Then it will ignite something in you, the repeated chanting. Oh, so much good interest will come. So much taste, will come. You will want to go more. Let me go more in my Krishna consciousness. I will also go to one retreat. Yes, I will also observe one parikram. Where is the next Puri parikram? I must come. I heard so many things. You will also like to run after Krishna. So, but he needed training. So he stayed for one entire year in the ashram. But then another problem started to develop. His relatives, who have heard about the sinner turning into a saint, you know, that's an expression in Europe, and there's a song about this, I won't sing it for you. They came to the ashram, and looked at him and said, Bilva Mangala, come home. Now he's good. He should come home and resume his poetry and position as a teacher. So it became so much disturbance that after 1 year, Bilva Mangala took the permission of Somagiri and went on a journey to Vrindavan. He wanted to go to Braj. How did he look at that? He traveled day and night. His appearance was like that of a sadhu. His hair was long and entangled. He was unwashed. And his clothes was worn out. He remembered from time to time his past life, but as he wandered, he became overwhelmed with joyous expectation of Vrindavan. I will go to Vrindavan, where Krishna is eternally present, where Krishna has his pastimes with Radha and the gopis. Wow! And he was in a high state. So once, as he was traveling, he came to the banks of a lake, and he chanted his mantra. He was hungry and thirsty. All of a sudden, he heard a womanly voice. It was a woman who had just drawn water from the well and who had seen the sadhu and said, let me serve him. And the voice said in a sweet voice, you must be thirsty. Please drink something. And as he heard the voice, a sweet voice, a cultured voice, a good voice, the memory of Chintamani struck him like an arrow. There were also sanskaras with Chintamani, you know, the romantic encounters they had. To use a polite word, I don't want to use heavy words because they are great souls, these two. So he looked and his eyes fell upon the woman, and in his glance lust mixed. Maya is so strong that she can overwhelm anyone. And in the 12th canto, we hear about right at the end of the Bhagavatam, we hear this pastime of Maitreya Muni, how overwhelming the material energy can. And something happened, a change in consciousness. When the woman left, he followed her to the house. He was received by the men, and by his outward appearance, he really looked like a very strong sadhu. The Grihastha said, "Mahatma, how can we serve you?" And he said, "I want to be with your wife." So the Grihastha said, "This Avaduta, saint, you never can judge a saint what is in his mind, maybe, I don't know." So he said, "You go upstairs and you wait in this room. I will tell my wife." So he said to his wife, "The sadhu has an extraordinary request. You please fulfill it." The wife said, "I cannot see another man than you. It would be better to poke out my eyes." Now Bilva Mangala is upstairs and he hears his two hosts talking. It was not a well-constructed German building where the walls are very soundproof, you know. He says, "Oh no! What am I doing? This chaste woman saying like this." And the husband said, no, don't overreact. He's a sadhu. Who knows what the sadhu will do? He went upstairs. She went upstairs, decorated. Bilva Mangala saw her. He remembered everything. Oh no, oh no. He said, Ma means address to the mother. It immediately changes the relationship. Please give me your hairpins and wait outside. She took her hairpins and thought he must have a thorn in his feet and need a sharp instrument to remove the thorn. The next, she goes outside, the next thing she hears is, she looks inside and she sees this, from his behind his hand, blood is running out. She calls her husband. Her husband said, "Mahatmaji, have you hurt yourself?" Bhava Mangala said, "I'm free. I'm finally free from all this hurt." And he goes, goes on his journey. "It's all right, it's all right," said Bilva Mangala. And his eyes are not there any longer, or they are blind. And he goes on his journey to Vrindavan. This is very moving. He goes and he falls sometimes in a ditch. When he comes to the forest, he bumps against trees, but he only knows Vrindavan. Vrindavan, Vrindavan, there Lord Krishna is always present. Shastra says he never moves a step out of Vrindavan. I must go to Vrindavan. And as he is longing for Krishna, beautiful images come in his mind. He begins to sing in ecstasy. He loses himself in ecstasy. And wherever he falls, he somehow is saved. Then one day, he hears a soft little voice, "Oh, Baba, where are you going?" He says, Vrindavan. Oh, says the boy, this is your lucky day. I'm also going to Vrindavan. Come with me. I will lead you to Vrindavan. And he takes his hand and he leads him to Vrindavan. So after only a few days, they arrive in Vrindavan and Bilva Mangala wonders, what is this? After a few days, this boy brings luck. He is very, very happy by now. He's chanting these ecstatic songs. And then the boy says, here, Baba, take some sweet rice. And he eats the sweet rice and it tastes so good. And then he says, who are you? Someone. And he grabs the boy, but the boy is faster and he unwinds himself from the grip. No, Baba, I'm just going. Tomorrow I will return. I will give some prasadam and I will build a straw hut for you. That this time, Bilva Mangala Thakur, most probably it's this time, he sings one of his love-filled songs. Would you like to hear the song? Wow, this was it. I need to first hear the song myself so that I can. I recorded this song from His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Maharaj, who is. Let me just. Please put it in my ear. This. Yes, I have it. So you have a song sheet, no? You brought? No, not yet. Our best man has given, no? Then you must register your complaint with Damodar Ashtakam. He has printed out the verses which we want to sing together because I want you to sing these verses in these melodies so that something wraps up in your subconscious skin. Hastam ukship Yayatosi Palat Krishna Kimatputam Hridayat Yadini Yasi Purusham Ganayamite. Bilva Mangala sings. Oh, Krishna. You know, he had just tried to catch that boy who saved him so many times. He had just tried to catch the boy who supplied him with sweet rice. He had just tried to catch him who had guided him to Vrindavan. And he sings to him, oh, Krishna.
Oh, Krishna.
I am blind.
Is
it really astonishing if you can escape from my hand? If you can, however, remove yourself from my heart, I would consider you a real hero. It doesn't work so well, as you see. The emotions go. So I will say it to you in continuously. I didn't mean you to repeat the English. I wanted you to repeat the Sanskrit. But okay, here it is for you again. Oh, Krishna, I'm blind. Is it really so astonishing if you can escape from my hand? If you could, however, remove yourself from my heart, I would consider you a real hero. He talks to Krishna as if to a friend. He has another composition in the same mood. it is a beautiful prayer to the best of thieves. I don't have the Sanskrit here. Something Shauranga. Yes, you said it properly. He says something I like very much. Yadiyananapi haret yashesham giri prasaram api paparasin ashaya rupo namachora idrik drishta shrutova namaya kadapi. You are the best of thieves. We have seen thieves who steal, but we have not seen thieves whose names alone, when you mention their name, your purse is gone. But mere utterance of your name relieves one and frees one from a mountain of sins. Such an astonishing, wonderful thief I've never seen or heard of anywhere. O thief, you have stolen everything, my wealth, my honor, my senses, my life, my everything. No, he's blind now, he has nothing. Where can you run to? I've caught you with the rope of my devotion. O stealer of my everything, O thief, today I have imprisoned you in the miserable prison house of my heart, which is very fearful due to the terrible darkness of my ignorance. And there for a long time you will remain. You can't escape receiving the appropriate punishment for your thievery. I will not release you for millions of aeons. So he writes these verses, and you will hear from tomorrow. I will get into the verses with you, amongst other things. At the end, when Krishna hears him, he says, "Your work is nectar for my ears. Please ask me for something." Then Bilva Mangala Thakur says, "The only thing I want from you is that this composition that has been produced in praise of you, Krishna, who is bound by Radha's belt, may flow for 100 kalpas in the hearts of the devotees." He, in other words, looks forward. He looks forward to the Chaitanya area where devotees will sit together and compose and read Krishna Kanamrita, cite it, where Lord Chaitanya personally will utter these verses. He looks forward on and on and on through the history of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and he looks to the Govardhan retreat where his verses are still recited, because 100 kalpas have not yet elapsed. It's a long period. He wants that his verses are so long in favor of the devotees. And Krishna made arrangements for Bilva Mangala. He said, yes. Krishna had made arrangements all the while for Bilva Mangala. First, he had sent him his Vatman Pradashaka Guru. The Guru showed him the way. Who? Chintamani. Then he had sent him to his Diksha Guru. Who? Somagiri. And finally he himself took on the role of instructing him, of guiding him. He's there in the hearts of all the devotees as the guiding light in our lives. He is the one who sends these wake-up calls. But in Bilva Mangala's case, he talks to him. He guides him. He brings him sweet rice. He is a loving, like a friend Shiksha Guru. Very, very amazing. And we will hear more about this tomorrow. And tomorrow you will lift one secret which will make you cry. It is so beautiful. But before I end this day and speak about tomorrow, I want to just summarize it a little bit. My main point today was about heeding these calls which come to us, which have a lot to do with previous what? Sanskaras, impressions which we have. Also, Sukritis is another word. The divine and Sukritis are more like divine investments in us. Sanskaras are impressions. My dear devotees, you all have them. Otherwise, you would not have picked up the path of Krishna consciousness in seriousness. And you all have come, like this is classic, no? To a point where you now have to move on your own strengths. I know for myself, I had these sankskaras because I was a very pious boy when I was a child. My mother would say, recently she said, you know, I always say this, I would always climb high trees and mostly did not know how to go back. And the fire brigade had to bring their big leathers. I was like a little wailing cat in the high tree, scared to death. And mother asked me, why do you always climb these high trees? Don't know, this is dangerous. And I said, I want to be as close to God as possible. With childlike. So sankskaras are there. But then you come pang to other things. I was a member of the rock and roll culture also, like all of us. Crazy and so on, and I had to then decide, oh yes, I want to go the other direction now. And there are multiple tests in Krishna consciousness which are there. You have to go on your own strengths. You all have these sankskaras, but here in the sacred valley of Giriraj, you should pray for the strengths which you need to now move forward to your next steps. Good. This is a little bit the message of today. So I have reached the end of my presentation. What should we do now? I know it's. I'm amazed. I was really, really, really fearing I wouldn't finish this part, which is a long and condensed part. I was really praying to Giriraj, but he seemed to have stretched the time so that everything could fit in. Yes, let's do like this. I request you, I'm following the good example of our Bhurijan Prabhu, please turn towards Giriraj now in this direction. I also thought like this. So we will sing a kind of prayerful melody. Please turn to Giriraj in a prayerful mood. Maybe you want to pick up where the seminar left you. That is at the point of my next steps after I have gone so far as I went. Maybe it is for further insights, maybe it's for spiritual strengths, whatever. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody again, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. A little louder and one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hai Bo, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nitai Nitai, Oh Nityananda. Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, sing, 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 sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Please raise your hands and in a gesture of surrender, in a gesture of receiving, sing with your heart like you really mean it. Now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Chila Prabhu Pada. Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan.
Hare Govinda. Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Sri Radhe. Govinda, Radha Govinda, Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Yeah.